Good morning, Millgrove Bible Church, and happy Father's Day to the dads and granddads out there. This is a nice day to remember us guys, although not nearly as important as Mother's Day, let's just be honest. We want to appreciate our moms out there, but happy Father's Day. We have just a little way to celebrate that on your way out. Our very own June Harrison has some Tim Hortons gift cards for all of our men. So please enjoy those. She will be there at the door in the back. Or she'll be at the door going into the gym, wherever. Find those gift cards, guys, if you want your coffee and your Timbits, or whatever they're called. But thank you so much for those that have done that. We are glad to be together here any Sunday, especially today. We want to celebrate dads, but most of all, we're going to celebrate our Father in heaven. So we, before I call us to worship, just wanted to mention one more announcement. We have an informational meeting today. We're going to, after our service, we're going to ask you to run back, get your coffee, water, whatever. Maybe run one of your kids down to the Sunday school. But we're going to have an informational meeting at 11 a.m. We have some updates here. Way back when, we'll talk more about this, but the transition team before I came had worked through some things and they had some recommendations, and we've been talking about those as they pertain to just kind of some of the things we can do to refresh around here. So we're going to be talking about that at 11, and we'll get to that. So, all right. Well, this morning, let us come together to worship the Lord. Each week, we want to pause amidst our busyness. Some of us have already been busy this weekend with events. Maybe you had to work yesterday. Maybe you got to work today. Some of us have Father's Day stuff going on today. Maybe we got to go visit. Maybe there's a big gathering. I don't know what might be on your schedule, but it is easy to come on a day like today and already be ready for the busyness of the afternoon or maybe even next week. So let's come together as a church family and ask the Lord for grace, so he can just draw our hearts upward to him. So let's worship the Lord, if you'll join me as I open with a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, that you loved us so much, that you have included us in your plan. Lord, we thank you that you came here to give your life for us, and you left us with your Spirit to minister in our hearts, Lord, as we've put our faith in you, and we are now sons and daughters of God. So we come here today to worship you, Lord. We want to sing these praises to you and leave here today ready to love one another and care for one another. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand with me as we begin to worship together.
Thank you. reading this morning is from Psalm 19, verses 9 to 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in your in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Please stand with me again as we continue to sing.
Behold the man upon the cross, my sin, he cannot.
Thank you, folks. Tom and Tommy and Sarah, the Barlows, are back together there for Father's Day. Good to have you, folks. What a great way to conclude our worship here before we preach with that song. How great is the Father's love for us? Well, we are winding down our study of Galatians. Here. We've been working through Paul's epistle to the Galatians since the end of January, seems like we started. Good stuff. We'll be done here soon, but we are in chapter 6 again today. Last week, I started with the question here, how do we do this? How do we walk in the Spirit so that we don't fall back into those old patterns of giving into our flesh? You know, this idea of pleasing ourselves, living how we feel in the moment. That struggle that all of us have, even after we've put our faith in Christ and been born again by the Holy Spirit, we continue to have that struggle with that inner part of us, those desires that want to please ourselves, look out for us before others. All right? We talked about how Paul made it clear in chapter 5, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. This idea that we've been called to follow Jesus. And how do we do that? We keep in step with the Spirit of God. We've talked about how the spiritual disciplines play into that. The time we spend in the Word of God, the time we spend in prayer, the things we can do, such as Scripture memorization. There's others, too, that we didn't touch on. Now, some people talk about fasting. There's just ways that we... At times, we set aside those moments of our week to hear from the Spirit of God, all right, as we open up the Word, as we pray, all right, we keep in step with the Spirit. But then Paul warned in verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And this is a warning for us, both in our own lives and for the life of the church. So even as he talks about how we keep in step with the Spirit, he warns us that together we can go backward and struggle with pride and self-centeredness, with jealousy, attitudes of the flesh that cause strife and division within the family of God. They cause dysfunction in our relationship. So this is a warning for all of us as we think about our own battle to walk in the Spirit. So we think about life together as a church family. Which brings us back to our text today in Galatians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul got practical. He got practical. Last week we looked at these pastoral challenges that he shared in verses 1 through 10 of there in chapter 6 and how they help us to understand how we live out our faith, what it looks like to walk by the Spirit of God as God's people together, as sisters and brothers in Christ. Well, if you haven't yet, please join me in Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read through verses 1 through 10 again as we finish up this important section. All right, let's read together. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one of you test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each of us will have to bear his own load. Verse 6, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Verse 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray, if you'll join me. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. Lord, as we think about this call to keep in step with the Spirit, Lord, we know we need the light of your word to shine on our path every day. Lord, I thank you for bringing us here today. May you help us to see these things and hear the things that we need to hear. Lord, may you guide us as we think about what it means to follow Christ together as your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Well, as Paul was winding down his epistle to the Galatians, as we said, he shared these pastoral challenges here. We talked about how this section, as you look at it, it can seem like just Paul was kind of throwing together some things he needed to say at the end of the letter. But as we discussed last week, I think he was really sharing two our overarching imperatives for us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Those two things are mutual accountability and personal responsibility. As followers of Jesus, we keep in step with the Spirit of God as we care for one another on the journey. And as we care for our own spiritual health, these are two sides to the same coin. They go together. We fight this daily battle with our flesh together. So the Lord has called us to look out for one another as we are investing our lives in what the Savior is doing through His church to extend the gospel into this world. All right, our outline is the same as last week. We got through the first main point there, and we're this idea of walk by the Spirit by caring for one another. And we're going to look at this idea of walk by the Spirit by examining yourself, this idea of personal responsibility in verses 3 through 10. All right. Walk by the Spirit by caring for one another. We'll go through this real quick here. We talked last week about this idea to restore one another when we fall into sin. All right, we don't walk this journey alone. All right, sometimes we can think that this is just about me and Jesus. I show up, I listen, I get what I can out of it, and then I'm gone with my life for the rest of the week. That's not the Lord's plan. The Lord's plan is that we are part of the body of Christ. All right, we are connected. Connected spiritually through the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us all. All right, that's why we can say that we've been adopted as sons and daughters. We're sisters and brothers in Christ. All right, so if someone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him with a spirit of gentleness. Paul was teaching that one of our primary responsibilities as part of the body of Christ is to watch out for those around us who need our help. All right, that's whether we are just encouraging them or we need to speak the truth when a brother or sister needs to hear it. It's the care, particularly in this passage, Paul's talking about caring for that person who's wandered off, maybe fallen into sin, whether it's attitudes or behavior. All right, well, how do we restore our brother or sister in Christ? We talked about this last week with gentleness, the idea to follow the example of Christ. Our Lord loved people enough to speak hard truth into their lives, but he did so with patience and grace. All right? If you notice that, so often the Lord was really hard on those Pharisees, those people that claimed to know the Bible so well, and yet those that were thought of as the outsiders, the sinners, the whatever categories we throw them into, our Lord spoke the truth to them like that woman, a Samaritan woman at the well. He spoke the truth with patience and grace. We want to have humility as we care for one another. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. That's a verse we ought to tuck away. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Humility is the attitude that guides us as we care for one another. Try to keep one another on track. And in verse 2, Paul, along with that, this is the idea of bearing one another's burdens as we struggle in various ways. We all struggle in various ways. Knowing that we all struggle to keep in step with the Spirit, and we too often choose in the moment to just give in to the flesh, to do what we feel like doing, whatever that might be, the Lord calls us to be there to help others through their struggles. What does it mean to bear one another's burdens? We talked about this last week. This certainly applies to all areas of your life. I love it when I hear about how folks are helping people out with issues around the house. Someone brought a chainsaw by our house yesterday. I got a tree that fell down by the creek, and our kids can't get the canoe out, and appreciate someone helping like that. But don't miss the direct context of this command. Paul taught us here that we are to help one another to address both the behavior and the heart issues that are at the root of our struggles. All right? So it's not just the behavior to help our brother and sister work through that heart issue. All right? Not all of us are gifted counselors, experienced Bible teachers, right? So we talk about helping someone deal with a personal issue in their life. Maybe that sounds really intimidating. And that's probably a good thing, maybe, that we come at it with humility. But you know what? The reality is all of us can walk alongside someone. All of us can be there for someone that's struggling. We can read Scripture to them. We can pray with them. You don't have to be Bible experts to do that. You don't have to have a seminary degree to do that. That's called loving your sister or brother in Christ. We can encourage someone. We can encourage someone. We can support that person as he or she gets the help needed to deal with the issues at hand. Whether that's a sin struggle that needs to be confessed or a situation where the person needs guidance and counseling. You know, I want to encourage you. If there's a sister or brother in Christ, whether it's here in Mill Grove or outside of the church, that's struggling, have the confidence that the Lord could use you in that person's life. And at some point, if you feel like, wow, I'm in over my head, you can reach out to myself or one of the elders. We'd be glad to give you some ideas, some thoughts. If nothing else, we could help you on that. But I want to say that don't forget that calling that we have to bear one another's burdens. All right, well, hearing a sermon about other people's sins can be easier than applying a message about dealing with the struggles of my own heart, right? I don't know about you. But if we want to help one another grow in our faith, then individually, you and I need to address our own struggles. My first responsibility is to keep myself in step with the Spirit so that I can encourage those who are walking alongside of me. All right? So Paul pivots to this idea of that we walk in the Spirit by examining ourselves, this personal responsibility. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Verse 4, but let each one of us test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. What's Paul teaching here? I think the first point, those verses 3 through 5, is we need to check ourselves regularly. Check yourself. Be honest with yourself about your weaknesses. Verse 3, let me read that again. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. He deceives himself. Do we do that? Do we deceive ourselves about the condition of our heart? Yeah. We tend in our flesh to be much more critical of others than we are of ourselves, right? We have much less patience for the sin in other people's lives. At least for me, if I'm honest, it's much easier for me to justify all the reasons for why, you know, it's not that big of a deal in my life. All right, that's who we are as people that God is working on day by day to transform us into the image of Christ. So check ourselves regularly. The attitude that guides us as we interact with one another in church life, as we care for one another when stuff arises, that attitude is humility. Humility that comes from honest self-examination. Let's think about that. No matter how long we've been a Christian, how much Bible knowledge we've accumulated, or what position in the church we might have, the battle that we face every day to keep in step with the Spirit is a universal battle. It's a battle for all of us. And it's a serious battle. Again, I really hope by this point in my life there would be some issues that I was battling in my teens and my 20s that would be all worked out. But yet I know if I'm not keeping in step with the Spirit, those ugly sins kind of come right back up. All of us will struggle to resist the temptations of our flesh and keep in step with the Holy Spirit until the day that we meet our Savior. Do you realize that? We will all struggle to keep in step with the Spirit until that day that we meet the Savior. And I've said this before, sometimes in evangelicalism we talk as though our journey of faith ended at the cross and it's just cruise control from here on out. Wow, not my experience. That journey of following Jesus begins at the cross. You know, and the Lord takes us through all sorts of struggles to work on us, to change us from the inside out. And many of those struggles, if we're honest, are struggles that we make. Because we're holding on to attitudes, holding on to sin, holding on to pride. And the Lord continues to take us through stuff because he wants to refine us. All right. We will all struggle to resist the temptations of our flesh to keep in step with the Spirit until the day that we see Jesus. All right. So, as we think about that, we should also think about the fact that if I go casually into my day, not really thinking about keeping in step with the Spirit, whether through prayer or Bible reading or those other spiritual disciplines, then I'm deceiving myself. I'm deceiving myself. I'm deceiving myself about my weaknesses, about the influence of that inner part of myself, that flesh that Paul writes about here in Galatians and in other places in his letters, the influence the flesh has over me. Honestly reflecting on the condition of my heart is where I should be every morning. If it's a daily battle, I got to do that every day. I think of the words of King David in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What a great way to start your day. I need to call out to him because I know who I am before the Lord. All right, I may be able to fool other people, but the Lord knows who I am. I need to call out to him to create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. So let's be humble about our need for God's grace. Paul also warned the Galatians, don't compare yourself to others, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. What does it mean to test our own work so that we can boast about it? Test our own work so we can boast. I don't think the Apostle Paul was teaching us that the goal of self-examination is to compare ourselves with others so that we can boast about ourselves, right? In the sense of bragging. I'm sure that's not it. That would be more self-deception, wouldn't it? And that would feed my flesh. To keeping in step with the Spirit is about depending on the Holy Spirit to bring forth fruit in my life. I can be encouraged when I see how he's changing me, how he's working on me to change me from the inside out. But you know what? I really don't have anything to brag about, at least in myself, other than to express thanks to the Lord. If you see the fruit of the Spirit in my life, or if I see the fruit of the Spirit in my life, the only person to brag about is the work of the Spirit, right? So we can boast in that. And I can't help but think Paul was alluding back to the boasting done by those Judaizers. Remember the context of this letter. These were people that thought they were pretty good at doing this whole Christianity thing because they knew that here's the laws of Judaism and all the things that go along with that culture, the traditions, the food, diet, and all that stuff. And these were people that came in there thinking, we are the real Christians. I think Paul's kind of alluding to that. If you're going to boast anything, Boast in the fact that the Spirit of God is showing you the grace to change the ugliness in your heart and bring forth fruit. And that is encouraging if you think about it. Because what the Lord can do in me is so much better than anything I can produce on my own. If I'm honest with myself, I know my natural tendency is to think more highly of me than I should. My tendency is to avoid those times of honest self-reflection so that I can avoid owning up to those ugly parts of my life that are embarrassing. It's much easier to avoid the selfishness and sin than to deal with the shame and the pride that keeps those things buried down, deep down. Part of looking out for our sisters and brothers is to look out for ourselves. We have to be honest about ourselves. The Lord needs to be at work in our hearts so that we are able to restore brothers and sisters and bear their burdens. Testing your own work is not about being self-focused, about where you continue to be, keep yourself at is your top priority. Paul is talking about honest self-evaluation where we compare ourselves to Jesus. Instead of worrying about what others might think of me, I need to look at my life to consider what Christ expects of me. So compare yourself to Jesus. Compare yourself to Jesus. The Bible is a mirror that we need to hold up in front of ourselves so that we can see stuff in our lives that needs attention, right? Remember the warning from James in his epistle in chapter 1. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The challenge here today from the Apostle Paul for both the Galatians long ago in their time and for us today is do the hard work of honest self-examination by the light of God's word. Are there issues in your life that you need to address? Do you have attitudes or sin struggles in your heart that you need to confess? Every day. Right? There's things the Lord is going to reveal to us as we open up his word. Are there areas in your life where you need to call out to the Lord for grace? To change your heart, to be more like Jesus. And to know that's what he desires. We are sons and daughters through faith in Christ. There's nothing we need to do for God to love us more. He loves us more than we even can imagine. Remember Father's Day, how great is this, the Father's love for us, that he'd send his son. Self-examination is part of keeping in step with the Spirit. I need to be honest about how I'm actually living in relation to what God expects of me versus how I often grade myself against others. When I'm not willing to look at the issues of my heart, then I'm not taking seriously this daily battle within. Self-examination is necessary because of our tendency to minimize our sin. I think Paul included this challenge in verse 4 about self-examination because we really can't address the sins of our brothers and sisters if we're not willing to address what's going on in our own hearts, which is what Paul was addressing when he wrote about having reason to boast. Reason to boast. If I quietly boast to myself that my sin isn't as bad as the sin of another person, then I'm not being honest about the condition of my heart and my need for God's grace. But as I honestly examine my heart and see how the Lord is working on those issues that I have confessed, then I have reason to boast. Not in my own strength, but in the progress that the Lord is making in me. So from the grace that we find each day in Christ, let us examine our hearts and address sin so that we can care for one another. Well, from this warning to do regular self-examination, Paul then focuses on how we are to invest our lives. Invest our lives in one another. Invest our lives in what he's doing to build his church. Part of personal responsibility is personal stewardship. Personal stewardship, to care for what the Lord has given us. So it brings us to our second point there. Invest your life wisely, verses 5 through 8. Let each one who has taught the word share all good things with one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will, from his flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. All right, lot in there. We need to be responsible to share in the work of the Lord. For each one of us needs to bear his own load there, verse 5. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Paul continued to focus on the responsibilities that we have for one another. We just looked at here in verses 3 through 4, the warning to care for our own spiritual health. And verse 5 seems to be a follow-up. We don't walk this journey alone. We all have responsibility to one another. My responsibility for the spiritual health of my family and my church family begins with me. Bearing your own load through honest self-examination is a big part of how we care for one another, how we serve one another. Dealing honestly and humbly with my own issues is part of caring for my church. Within the context of this idea of bearing our own load, the Apostle Paul also makes a reference in verse 6 that's interesting. Verse 6, let the one who is taught the word share in the good things with the one who teaches. Why is that verse there? I think it's part of this idea of caring for one another as we're responsible to bear our own load. Paul is talking about the Galatians helping with the financial burdens of their churches, particularly the support of their pastors and missionaries that they would send out. All right, and this command is not only about the Galatian churches providing for their pastors, but by enabling these leaders to commit regular time each week to study God's word, these churches were affirming the importance of quality biblical teaching and ministry that's guided by biblical principles. The Apostle Paul, who if you know his story, you see it in Acts, and he references it sometimes in some of his letters. He normally tried to cover his own expenses during his missionary endeavors. And we think maybe part of this, because some of his critics say, well, he's just, you know, telling you what you want to hear because he wants a job. That might have been why he was often working on the side, tent making, is the idea that we think about there. We don't know exactly what he did, but Paul often covered his own expenses. But at the same time, he is establishing here for New Testament churches the role of both pastors and professional Bible teachers as a vocational calling, so that they can support families while they're focusing on biblical instruction for the purpose of discipleship. Whether that's a missionary, a traveling evangelist, a theology professor at a college or seminary, a Bible teacher who speaks at conferences, or writers of biblical resources, we are blessed to have great research and writings, books, teaching available to us here in the 21st century. And not just stuff that's been written recently, but if we have access to stuff from decades ago, centuries ago. There's a value in that. Because the health of the church depends on solid Bible teaching and preaching, we all have a role to play in bearing that burden. I think so. That's what Paul was writing there. All right, then Paul pivots to another practical command. Verses 7 and 8. Live for something bigger than yourself. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. All right. Paul shares an agricultural metaphor there in these two verses that his ancient Near Eastern audience, they understood. Most people in that day, they grew their own food. And even if you didn't, say you had a special skill or you were wealthy, you knew what that meant because people were growing food everywhere. All right, we are removed from that here today, but it's a statement they understood, this concept of sowing and reaping. Now you plant your seeds, all right, you take that risk of putting seeds, things you can eat, into the ground, believing that in a matter of weeks, however long it takes, for whatever plant that is, there will be fruit that you can reap. All right, but he led with a warning statement. He says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Earlier, we just looked at in verse 3, Paul had warned about the need for honest self-examination because of the tendency to tell ourselves the things we want to hear too often, right? We justify our attitudes, our behaviors. So the warning here against self-deception must be important. Paul, as he mentions it again, verse 7. It's one of those lessons that we really need to hold on to. You know, if you have a highlighter, highlight those verses in your Bible or underline them or just put them away. Those are things we have to remember, as we can justify all sorts of things, can't we, to justify our flesh in the moment. Paul then put even more weight on this warning by adding, God is not mocked, which is a very strong statement. Who's trying to fool God? Who's trying to fool God? Maybe we do that more than we realize. You and I might be able to fool others, you know, as we know how to say the right things, act a certain way. You know, especially if you've been in church very long, we kind of figure out that the way of acting around other Christians, right? It's true of all of us, all right? But we're not going to fool the Lord. There's a warning there. God is not mocked. That is one of those short little statements in scriptures that should get our attention. He knows more about our sin than we do. He knows how deep our self-deception goes and the damage that it's doing in our hearts. But he loves us anyway. He loves us so much he wants to keep working on us. Right? He sent the Spirit in our hearts to cry out, Abba, Father. So as our flesh says, do what you feel like doing, there's a Spirit in us going, no. The Father gave his Son to rescue you from that garbage. And because the Lord loves us, we also know other places in scriptures, he disciplines us, doesn't he? It's for our own good. So how does this very serious warning about self-deception connect to the warning about sowing and reaping? All right, those things, there's a lot in here. We could spend some time in this section right here, this is verses 7 and 8. Paul shared the metaphor of sowing and reaping to help us think in terms of how we use the resources that he has entrusted to us. And what is the number one resource that we have? The time on this earth. Whether you're wealthy or poor or somewhere in between, we all have 24 hours in a day. All right, some of us are super gifted and some of us not so much. Some of us have other things that you know, we can thank the Lord for, but whatever the Lord has given you in your life, you are a steward of that. It's about how we live, how we spend the time that God has entrusted to us on earth. All right, whether that's just the daily things that we do, our money, our energy, our emotional bandwidth. All right, sometimes I get myself caught up in certain things. I'm like, why am I spending my emotional bandwidth on things that don't count? All right? And I'll just say personally, it's especially when it comes to sports, I can get quite worked up about some sports issue. But I have to be careful. What is the Lord given me? How am I using what he has given to me? Am I a good steward of my life? Invest your life for eternal dividends. Verse 8. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit, or will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let's think about that for a minute. I think there's two ways to live out our faith. All right, whether we walk in the Spirit of God, empowered to follow Christ, or just kind of going along on our own, giving in to the desires of my flesh, going back to my old patterns of selfishness, sin. All right, just as there's two ways to live out our faith, there's two ways to sow, two ways to invest my life each day. Either sowing to my flesh, living for myself, my own plans, investing in my own priorities, or sowing to the Spirit of God, as Paul wrote about that. And that's an interesting thing. He talks about sowing to the Spirit. Submitting my life and my resources for the kingdom of God to be a part of what he's doing to reach the world with the good news of Jesus. All right, what does it mean to sow in the Spirit? Man, that, I think that there's a lot more to that than, man, I even understand. I was thinking about that this week, doing some reading on this, and I just kind of had some thoughts down about what that means. Sowing to the Spirit means planting the kind of seed through the spiritual disciplines from which the fruit of the Spirit will come forth in my life. And if I want to see the Lord bear that fruit of the Spirit in my life, I need to sow into the Spirit. All right, what am I investing my heart and my mind into? Sowing in the Spirit is about submitting my ambitions to God's plans. All the things that I think are important. What is God's plans? All right, sowing in the Spirit is the freedom to see my financial resources as gifts from God that he can use so much more effectively than I can. All right, is that idea that I need to think about what would the Lord have me do with the resources he's given me? Sowing to the Spirit means finding joy in what the Lord can do through me rather than putting all my energy into my own priorities, my agenda. Maybe sowing the Spirit is about surrendering my bitterness so that I can forgive that person who's wronged me or disappointed me. Sowing the Spirit is when a husband or wife can lay down the burden of pride and confess sin and seek healing. I could go on there, I think, as we think about what it means to sow in the Spirit. The promise is here that those who sow to the Spirit of God will reap eternal life. A lot to that. Let's think about that for a moment. We are saved by God's grace apart from works. The Apostle Paul was so clear, wasn't he, earlier in this letter? So clear. Did you think about that as he was really addressing some of that, the false gospel of those Judaizers? But we can experience eternal life now in the sense of how, as we see God at work through us, as we invest our lives for eternal dividends. As we're keeping in step with the Spirit, as the Spirit of God is working our lives, as Paul spoke about, so that Christ is formed in us, experience as best as we can on this earth, what it means to have that eternal life. To have life that comes from the Lord. Not some sort of life that I can somehow produce on my own through whatever meager resources I might be able to come up with. So in verses 9 and 10, we're encouraged to spend our resources well. Spend our resources well. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. How do we keep ourselves from growing weary in doing good? I don't know if you think about that much. I imagine if you've been a follower of Jesus for a while and you've tried to serve him and use your gifts for the kingdom of God, then you felt weary, right? I mean, if nothing else, it's just weary. We can just get weary from the challenges of life. But Paul's warning here, don't grow weary of doing good. And I think, again, this is in this context of caring for one another, restoring one another, encouraging one another, bearing one another's burdens. Don't grow weary in doing good. Serve with good boundaries. You know, this could be a lesson in and of itself. Serving with good boundaries at the beginning of verse 9 there. I think this speaks about our physical and our emotional health. There are times when the Lord stretches us when we serve, right? We know that. It happens in life. A lot of different areas, but it certainly can happen as we're serving. We can be stretched. But we need to take care of ourselves, physically and emotionally. I think there's a principle there. Don't grow weary in doing good. We need to come alongside others that need our help, remembering that God can work through us, all right? But don't try to take the role of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. Don't carry burdens for that person that he or she is unwilling to carry themselves. You've got to be careful. I wish I could spend more time on this. It's a great discussion at different times, this idea of maintaining good boundaries as we serve. And part of that comes from the second half of verse 9. For in due season we will reap if we don't give up. We need to stay focused on the bigger picture of God's plans. Bigger picture of God's plans. The Lord will work through us. And sometimes we can get frustrated because there's that one particular person or situation that we're trying to fix. All right? And it's not working out. See the bigger picture of God's plans. You know, there's times that we can invest in a person's life and then you just wonder, what happened? I don't see any fruit from that. And we get discouraged about that. Paul reminds us, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. See the bigger picture of God's plans. I think the third encouragement there is make the most of God-given opportunities for the mission. Beginning in verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Let's do good to everyone. There's a lot in there. This fits within Paul's encouragement about investing our resources for eternal dividends. Life is short. Let's use what God has given us. Our finances, our skills, our time, our energy, our passion, our creativity. All these things to be a part of the mission of the Lord. To make disciples. We've been called to be a part of His church. To share the good news. To help one another on this journey of faith as we follow Jesus as disciples. As we do that, let's look out for the needs of our sisters and brothers at the end of verse 10. Especially those who are of the household of faith. As we look for those tangible ways that we can participate in the work of the Lord, Paul reminded the Galatians of the ministry that we have to one another. It's almost like he's kind of finishing where he started. Churches thrive when they're caring for one another. All right, we want to be a church that loves one another. Not just on Sunday mornings when we're all dressed up and clean and friendly. Well, we're going to love one another, be there for one another. All right, and I think so many of you are. I hear stories of when someone's in the hospital or someone's hurting, there's people that are following up on them. And I appreciate that. Let's be there for one another. Churches that thrive are those that are caring for one another. All right, there's churches where people just come in and sit and leave. I don't want to be that kind of church. I love it when people are in the back having coffee and cookies and all that after the service. And like today at 11, I'll probably have to like, hey, clap my hands, yell to get everyone to sit down because you're going to be back there fellowshipping. That's a good thing. We want to care for one another. Because I believe the Lord will bless us when we love one another. He will bless us when we love one another. Remember the words of our Savior in John chapter 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. And in verse 35, don't miss this. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of, where we love one another. You know, if we want to see the Lord build His church through us, then that growth starts here as we love one another, as we restore one another gently, as we bear one another's burdens, as we invest ourselves into His work. Because if that kind of love is not a part of our culture, where we're caring for one another, then how can we expect others to want to be a part of this church family? May the Lord leave us today thinking about this passage. How do we keep in step with the Spirit? How do we do that? We do it together. We do it together by caring for one another. By being honest about ourselves and our own struggles so that we can care better for for one another, so we can invest our lives in what God is doing to build his church. Well, folks, I'm going to wrap up now, and we're going to end here the song and just the time, more chances to worship the Lord, and then we're going to have a little break, and we're going to go on our meeting. But thank you so much for being a part of this journey. We're going to finish up Galatians here in a bit. We're coming to the end. It's been a great journey. I hope that you will continue to chew on some of these things we've been learning. As Paul wrote to those churches so long ago, churches that lived in a world so different from ours, culture so different from ours, and yet had some of the same struggles that you and I face every day. May his word continue to bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time together to worship you as we sing, worship you as we open up your word. Lord, we're grateful to be your people. Lord, may you just bind us together through the power of the Holy Spirit as we keep in step with the Spirit together on this journey of faith. We do this, Lord, to bring you glory. Lord, as our neighbors, our friends, even our family members might see us individually and as a church loving you and loving one another. And Lord, may that testimony draw them to you for the sake of the gospel. For your glory, we pray. Amen.
Please stand with me again as we close with As We Go.
As we go, may your spirit go before us. As we go, may we follow.
Before we finish with our worship service this morning, this is the time that we recognize that we worship the Lord through giving. The plates are located at the front by the stage or back by the sound booth. You can certainly give if the Lord lays it on your heart. We know that is part of our responsibility to be involved in the work the Lord does through us. And I thank you for how you listen to the Lord leading in that issue. So let's worship the Lord in that way. And now I'm going to send you out. May the Lord help you to keep in step with the Spirit this week as you look around at those that you can share his love with, whether those that are outside the church, or especially those of us who are in here as our church family. May we love the Lord, and may we love one another and be that testimony of the Spirit of God's transforming work in our hearts. Have a great week. Happy Father's Day. And don't forget those gift cards to Tim Hortons, gentlemen. Thank you.